broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Live from the heart of the nation's capital, this is Morning Glory.
We begin this Thursday of the second week of Lent, March the 1st, giving glory to God with a prayer for the Lenten season. God, in the secret recesses of our hearts, show us where you have planted your law so that we might know what must be healed. During this holy penitential season, let your mercy wash over us and buoy us up with your love so that we might follow you faithfully throughout our lives. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Welcome to the month of St. Joseph, March the 1st, Thursday, and it's good to have you with us on Morning Glory. Good morning. I'm Brian Patrick, and back in studio today, Gloria Purvis.
Good morning. Glad to be back. Glad that it's March, and it came in like a lamb here in D.C.
Yeah, what a blessing. Elisa Murphy, our producer at Guadalupe Studios, and we're joined as godly counsel from the Sacred Heart of Jesus Parish in Winchester, Virginia, Father Bjorn Lundberg, leading us in prayer today. Father?
Good morning. From the Liturgy of the Hours, let us pray. O God, who delight in innocence and restore it, direct the hearts of your servants to yourself, that caught up in the fire of your Spirit, we may be found steadfast in faith and effective in works. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And Gloria, what does Mother share today?
Patience is adjusting your time to God's time.
God's on slow time.
You know? Yeah, right? He's got all the time.
He's not in any hurry. Eternity's a long time.
Yeah.
Our dear Mother Angelica, who founded EWTN, the Global Catholic Network. In the news, as another storm bears down on Southern California, people living in parts of Santa Barbara County are being urged to prepare to evacuate. A recommended evacuation is in effect for Goleta, Santa Barbara, Montecito, Summerlin, and Carpinteria. In January, heavy rain sent tons of mud and debris smashing into homes in Montecito. 21 people died. More than 100 homes were destroyed. The evacuations are not mandatory yet, but a high risk for loss of life and property exists. A high school in northern Georgia is put on lockdown Wednesday after a teacher allegedly fired a gun through a window and barricaded himself in a classroom. Dalton police spokesman Bruce Fraser says social studies teacher Jesse Davidson is in custody.
He's 53. He's been a teacher here at Dalton High School since 2004. I think a lot of people in town will also know him as the play-by-play voice of the Dalton High football team.
One student sustained an apparent ankle injury while running for safety. President Trump meets with members of Congress discussing school and community safety in response to last month's Florida school shooting. The president stresses that warnings about disturbed individuals must be taken seriously.
We have to ensure that when students, educators, family, neighbors, that when they warn authorities, that the authorities act quickly and decisively, unlike what took place in Florida, which was horrible.
Meanwhile, Dick's Sporting Goods will no longer sell assault-style rifles. It's also halting the sale of all guns to anyone under 21. Parkland, Florida mass shooting suspect Nicholas Cruz bought a gun at Dick's, not the AR-15 that he used in the massacre, though. Walmart is also restricting the sale of firearms in response to that Florida school shooting on Ash Wednesday. Long lines form at the U.S. Capitol as mourners pay final respects to the Reverend Billy Graham. House Speaker Paul Ryan spoke at Wednesday's arrival ceremony.
Billy Graham woke up every day and did just that. He shared his love of God. That love had no end. That love had no barriers.
President Trump's reflection was similar.
Everywhere he went, Reverend Graham delivered the same beautiful message. God loves you. That was his message. God loves you.
Graham lies in honor in the Capitol Rotunda today before his funeral tomorrow in North Carolina, which President Trump is expected to attend. The Catholic Association praises the House of Representatives for passing a new anti-sex trafficking bill. It makes it easier for attorneys general and prosecutors to sue websites that host advertisements for prostitution. The Catholic Association's Ashley McGuire says the bill takes an important step forward in updating our technology laws to help better protect vulnerable Americans, children in particular, from being sold for sex online. Dr. Gracie Christie, a senior advisor to the Catholic Association, will talk more about that bill at half past the hour. A federal judge in California rules construction of a border wall can move forward. President Trump responds on social media, calling the ruling a big victory, adding, "Our country must have border security." Pope Francis wraps up meetings with his Council of Cardinal Advisors, helping him implement reforms at the Vatican. The so-called C9 meets for 3 days several times a year. Cardinal George Pell of Australia was noticeably absent. He is on leave from his duties at the Vatican, facing clerical sex abuse charges in his native Australia. Archbishop Charles Scicluna continues to meet with survivors of clergy sex abuse in Chile. He was sent there by the Vatican to hear testimony in the case of Bishop Juan Barros, who has been accused of covering up sexual abuse by priests. One of the victims says the church must stop playing blind, deaf, and mute. Another acknowledges that the Vatican probe has generated trust. The Vatican's Pontifical Council for Culture will host the fourth Unite to Cure, a global health care initiative, next month. Dr. Robin Smith, president of the Cura Foundation, says, "By uniting stakeholders and decision makers and including patient voices, we can address ways to impact human health globally. The conference aims to ethically advance health care and protect the environment." Cardinal Joseph Zen issues another harsh critique of the rumored Vatican-China deal on the appointment of bishops. The Hong Kong Archbishop Emeritus calls it an act of suicide and a shameless surrender to the communist government. He faults the Pope's advisors for what he says is a bad deal. Bishops in Michigan voice concern about a proposed bill inspired by the Larry Nassar sex abuse scandal. That bill would extend the amount of time victims have to sue abusers. The Michigan Catholic Conference says the impact of the bill needs to be fully reviewed. The head of the Russian Orthodox Church seeks more cooperation with the Catholic Church. Patriarch Kirill wants to increase dialogue, citing a recent project to bring sacred relics and works of art to Russia. He is the first Russian Orthodox patriot to meet with the Pope. He met with Pope Francis in Cuba 2 years ago. And Alaskan bishops publish a pastoral letter entitled Living in the Image and Likeness of God. It states, "All life from conception to natural death is sacred and holds inherent dignity that must be protected." The bishops outline the reasons behind the church's teaching on life and death and how it should affect every Catholic's attitude towards others. The bishops point to a number of obstacles to the protection of life in Alaskan society, including suicide and addiction. Just ahead of Gloria and Father Bjorn and their comments this morning, we take a look at sports and weather on your Thursday morning. In NBA action, Detroit beats Milwaukee 110-87, Toronto over Orlando 117-104, Boston, the winner over Charlotte, 134-106, and Atlanta beats Indiana, 107-102. Steph Curry steals an inbound pass, nailing a three, putting Golden State up by 12 on Washington.
Draymond, backdoor cut, KD right down the baseline to the rim. The Warriors have the floor space, and once KD made that cut, on the overplay now, a steal by Curry, backs up and shoots a three. Curry hit the three ball off the inbounds, that's 82-70.
Golden State wins 109-101. Phoenix beats Memphis 110-102. And New Orleans over San Antonio 121-116. 8 minutes after now, and with your Thursday forecast, our producer, Lisa Murphy.
Morning glory weather.
A wet day for the Mid-Atlantic on this Thursday here in our nation's capital. Clouds this morning with a high of 55. For those tuned to the Guadalupe Radio Network this morning, for our listeners on Queen of Heaven and Earth Radio in Fairbanks, Alaska, a frigid one with a high of 7. And for those in Baton Rouge and in the great state of Louisiana, tuned to Catholic Community Radio, thunderstorms today with a high of 81.
So I have been reading, I read a lot of different periodicals because I need to know what the other side is saying. And there's a big move now to decriminalize what they call sex work, but we know it's prostitution. And they're saying it's central to transgender rights. And I was really taken aback by reading this article, basically saying because these men who dress as women feel fear when police approach them because they look like streetwalkers. And they're like, well, because of this fear and discomfort, we need to legalize all, they call it sex work. And I think the whole thing is just absurd, that the idea is, well, because police think we look like prostitutes, we therefore need to make sure all prostitution is legalized. I mean, I kid you not, this is literally the argument in the article, and they say this is central to liberation. And we have to stop that, number one, because it's not good for anybody. You know, prostitution, whether, and they make the difference of decriminalizing or legalizing, either way, prostitution harms the human person. This is not a means of liberation, and we need to be ready to say that, to defend that. I mean, we're going to have Gracie Christie on to talk about this new bill about stopping trafficking using online resources. But then on the other side, if you have groups of people trying to decriminalize and legalize prostitution, it undercuts bills like this, because the whole idea of trafficking and sex trafficking won't be something that's criminalized or could be legal. I mean, I'm very worried about it.
Well, isn't it also, too, the situation that whenever this topic comes up, you have people who are at the same time in different crowd working on this whole issue of human trafficking, and how, like, in states where they've tried to legal part countries where they try to legalize prostitution, that this affects these children who are being sold into, you know, human slavery and human trafficking. They get snatched up in a country, and when they go and legalize, you know, this kind of work, that there's no way for the police to go after and rescue these kids when they find them.
You're right. Nobody's looking. I mean, nobody has to look now, because if it's legalized, no one needs to look. So when you start to do that, the red flags that would normally trip people to go look, well, it's legal. So that it's like it's just defeatist, if you ask me.
Yeah. And we know that legalization doesn't mean that it's right. Just look at the Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion in the United States. That doesn't mean that it's ethically right or morally right. It's just
exactly
civilly legal.
And they use the same kinds of arguments, the emotional arguments, like that they are harmed when they are profiled by police as quote-unquote sex workers. I hate that term, sex workers, prostitution. Mm-hmm. And the article, really, what was interesting to me is that the article goes in and talks about how they're trapped in sex work. And I'm like, but how is legalizing prostitution going to release you from it or be good for you? So you read the article and you're like, there's a lot of jumbled thinking here. But we need to be ready to answer that, because it harms everyone. It is destructive of the human person, and we can never, ever forget that. We should never allow someone's body to be abused in this way as a legal means of making ends meet. That's just
Yeah, and as an intercessor for purity in our society, I think St. Joseph is certainly a great example. Father, today we begin the month of St. Joseph.
We do. Many people have been, maybe started in February 19th to do a novena, 30-day novena. EWTN always has that on the website and the devotions. A praying to St. Joseph. I always encourage people. I've been doing a lot, because we're going to have a big St. Joseph's Day altar here in the parish. We got this committee working on it, because St. Teresa of Avila always encouraged people. She said, you know, after she was cured by his intercession, she had huge devotion to him, and she encouraged other people to have devotion to him too. And I mean, we need it more than ever. We'd love to talk about St. Joseph, because of the confusion with gender and the confusion in how people feel, that reestablishing a healthy relationship with a good man like St. Joseph as a father figure and as a protector is so important. Here's somebody that God could entrust Our Lady and the Christ child to. So when you are trying to defend human dignity, when you're trying to heal the family, when you're trying to help people who are wounded by their experience of the family, you know, St. Joseph is super powerful. Teresa of Avila would say she never knew anyone who had devotion to him who did not experience the effect of his care. So she would dare people.
I am back in the day, and I still have it. It's all ratty and torn up, but I still have it. There's a St. Joseph's cord that you can wear in honor of St. Joseph, and it's for chastity, special protection, final perseverance, and for assistance at the hour of death. And it has a knot and seven knots at the other end. But anyway, I bring this up because there are things like cords, like St. Joseph cord, the angelic warfare, they give out a cord. And so there's a St. Philomena cord, all that deal with purity. And so these are, I think, major attacks on us, in our culture, play on the fact that we're concupiscent. We have that weakness of the flesh. But the church has so many sacramentals and aids for us, chiefly prayer. Let's be real, chiefly prayer and going to sacrament reconciliation. And I think we should make use of them and call out to our friends, the saints, like St. Joseph, for help.
I know I rely on St. Joseph heavily, Father.
Well, he's an amazing intercessor, super powerful. I was thinking about, too, in the news, you know, they're talking about the Vatican is having more training in exorcisms, because all over Italy and the rest of the world, this demand for, you know, the need for this powerful prayer. Because, you know, ultimately, exorcism is a form of a sacramental. You know, the church points out that the devil's more afraid of us going to confession than going to, you know, an exorcism. But still, you know, the need for prayer and spiritual warfare for people today, you know, whatever their struggles are, is greater than ever.
All right, Father Bjorn Lundberg, our godly counsel, joining Gloria Purvis and myself on Morning Glory. We thank you for joining us. And Father Amy is in the studio, our next guest, Amy McInerney.
Yes, our good friend Amy McInerney is joining us next to discuss the work of the pro-life movement and the power of Jesus' mercy as we mobilize to bring the good news
Catholic
from
the
Glory.
Start. Because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
Hi, this is Father Mitch Packer from Open Line Wednesday. We pray that you have a holy and blessed Lenten season and use this as a time to just straighten up.
Podcasting is an easy way to automatically receive your favorite EWTN programs on your mobile device. Visit EWTN.com/podcast and enjoy your favorite EWTN shows on your mobile phone right now.
Teresa Tomeo.
Every time I go to Mass and see my husband serving on the altar as a deacon, it hits me how, with God, all things are possible. I mean, there is no way that we should be still married, number one, based on all the problems we had. But number two, the fact that I'm in Catholic media and my husband is a deacon is simply a testimony to the power of God and the teachings of the Church that saved our marriage and, more importantly, our souls.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said, only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
Thank you for joining us for Morning Glory as we begin the month of March. It's March 1st, Thursday, in the second week of Lent. Father Mark is scheduled to be the celebrant for Holy Mass from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel right after Morning Glory here on EWTN Radio. Good morning, I'm Brian Patrick, along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Lisa Murphy is our producer and our godly counsel joining us by phone today. From Sacred Heart of Jesus Parish in Winchester, Virginia, Father Bjorn Lundberg.
I'm excited to welcome back a great friend of Morning Glory, Amy McInerney, who's a Respect Life Director of the Diocese of Arlington and a good friend from my days at John Paul the Great. Amy, how are you?
I'm well, Father. How are you? Good to hear your voice.
Yes, it's good to hear your voice, the power of technology. I'm excited to hear you talking about mercy, the power of mercy, and allowing our Lord to touch us in our pain. On your work with Respect Life, you talk to a lot of people been wounded by the culture, and you know the power of mercy to help people bring people healing.
Exactly. And, you know, I wanted to share an experience that kind of brought this home to me. So I was trying to be a good girl, I was trying to work out, and I went to the gym, and sure enough.
That was a problem.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, keeping my title as the world's most unathletic human being, I wrenched my shoulder.
Oh, no.
Ended up in physical therapy. And so I went to physical therapy, and, you know, they touch you here. They say, does it hurt here? And you say, yeah, does it hurt here? Where does it hurt more? Wherever you say it hurts the most, that's where they dig in with their iron claw, and they start pounding on you, right? And so I'm laying on the table at physical therapy, and I suddenly remembered this beautiful homily I heard last year on Divine Mercy Sunday, in which Father Scalia was talking about the power of mercy and how... So because our Heavenly Father gives us free will, he offers us mercy, but he doesn't force us on it, you know, force it on us. And so we have to say yes to that mercy. We have to, he said, let Jesus touch our wounds. And I thought, when I heard the homily, I thought, well, that sounds nice, but I really didn't realize what he meant. So there I am laying on the table at physical therapy, and this gal is, you know, going at the part that hurts the most. I got tears in my eyes, and this idea came back to me. And I thought, this is it. What is she doing? She's breaking up the scar tissue. She's increasing the circulation. Well, you know, you stick through that, and pretty soon my shoulder wasn't frozen anymore. Mm. I was, okay, I did not go back to the rowing machine, but I did go back
Smart.
To the gym. Yeah, right. So, but the point came home to me. And so this power of mercy, so what the physical therapist did for my shoulder, our merciful Lord will do for our souls if we say, please touch me here. Mm. But he will wait for us to accept his invitation. And I just think in this time of this beautiful season of Lent, just to meditate on the invitation to mercy, gives me great joy.
Well, one of the things that I was thinking about as you were talking is, you know, I remember going on a retreat and we were all lining up for a confession. And there was one lady that was like, look, I'm too much like Mary Magdalene. I just can't go in there. And we were like, no, no, go, go. But she just didn't want to face what she had done. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was such a good analogy to describe it, because sometimes we have to name the sin. Yes. Okay, you got to go in there and name it. You know, you can't have the priest in there guessing. You know, we know Jesus knows, but, you know, the priest's like, was it this? Was it that? No, Father, you're getting warm, Father. You know what I mean? You have to name it. You have to admit and own the sin. I mean, and admit that you're sorry. For some people, that's extremely frightening and very painful. But on the other end of that is liberation.
Exactly.
And
I think that to Father's phrase, Skippy wants us to be afraid of our sins. He wants us to be afraid to name them. He wants us to be afraid to go to confession. And we know that fear is not of God. Mm. And we see this, don't we, Father, in the pro-life movement, because abortion for so many of us is a hidden act. Mm-hmm. It's a secret sin. I was talking to one of the amazing people who work in the parish pro-life ministry yesterday. And they were talking about the resources they hand out during 40 days on the sidewalk. She said, we give the pregnancy resources for the whole Northern Virginia area, not just the ones near the neighborhood of the clinic.
Mm.
So because women choose an abortion clinic far from their home, they don't want to be seen going in. So it's from the beginning. It's we're hiding, we're lying. You know, like nothing new under the sun, right?
Right.
What did Adam and Eve do? First thing they did, they went and hid from our Lord. Like, how did that work out?
Right.
You know, so.
They knew they were naked.
You see, too, though, like when you're working the pro-life movement, you know that there are, one of the best pieces of advice we got in our seminary training was when another director of office for the pro-life office for Arlington had said to us, you know, as a priest, or when you're working in a parish or in a congregation, you've got to take for granted that there's a substantial number of people that you're going to be speaking to who've been affected by this, who are wounded by this, who are carrying this around. And if they think God can't forgive them, or they think they've done something that is bigger than God's mercy, this holds them back. So on one level, you want to be like that physical therapist and say, you know, okay, there's a place that's wounded and God wants to heal it. And you know that wound is there, and you're just trying to encourage them to take the first step, to know that God is available, you know, that he'll be there. And even in the confessional, you know, certainly you are willing to ask questions if it's hard. You say, look, are you ready to start? Do you want to dive in? Or I can walk you through this and say, was it this? Was it that? You know, it's kind of, I guess, like being a physical therapist, trying to find where is the pain, and not to just totally go for the jugular or do a root canal, but at least begin to kind of apply the medicine, if you will.
Well, you know, we were talking about abortion, but I have to say that even when you talk about trying to turn your life and live with Christ, you're going to find that a lot of people have been touched by, I mean, just the sin of using artificial contraception, you know, not for medicinal purposes only. You'll be surprised how widespread that is, how widespread sterilization is. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to find, and sterilization, when you start to talk about that, people are like, but I can't come back from that. You know, I've done this to my body. And so how do I go and confess a sin where I can't go and get the surgery to repair it because I can't afford it? You know
right.
what I mean?
Well, also, you're right. In the confessional, you tell people that, you know, when you confess this, that you're not obligated by the church to undo that, you know, surgery. That, you know, even though that's a huge life-changing decision, you know, in the context of the sacrament of reconciliation, when you confess that sin, especially if it's sterilization, you know, that, if you will, they can come back from it. It's not that the church or God is closing the door. That can be forgiven as well.
Yeah, that's an important to point out. Mm-hmm. And I think what a lot of people don't realize, and especially male sterilization, really opens the door to a very loose lifestyle for a lot of men. And a lot of sin.
And I'm glad you said that, Brian. I don't think people recognize that. I mean, you're right, because there's really no consequence then for the man after, you know, being all wild. The chance of a child isn't there. So what might give them pause to think about this awesome gift that they have? So, yeah.
Right. But I do think there is a consequence, maybe not physical, not at first.
Sure.
But there is a consequence deep in our souls, and we are, because the law of God is written on our hearts, we are, the farther we get away from him, the more restless we are.
Mm-hmm. I can attest to that personally, Amy. Mm-hmm.
And so the power of mercy, Amy, is, of course, the answer to all these things. So thank you for being in studio and to talk with us about God's mercy and how you've seen that in your life in the physical therapy world, but also in your ministry as director of Respect Life Ministry for the Diocese of Arlington.
Thanks, Father. Great to be with you all.
All right, Amy, it's great to see you. And as we are not afraid to experience some pain based on that conversation, Father's going to go a little deeper and says, don't be afraid to be miserable. That's next after Catholic Chatter now at 25 after. Here's Elisa.
We've heard from Mark this morning. So happy to hear Amy's voice on the airwaves. He very much loved your work with Human Life Action. Happy to hear about your new role with the Respect Life Ministry, and he hopes your shoulder feels better.
Thank you.
And we've heard from Mary, who's very happy to hear Father Bjorn's voice on the airwaves this morning during this month of St. Joseph. And I think she's starting a hashtag, fun with Father Bjorn.
Yeah. Always optimistic Father Bjorn addresses misery this morning.
Yes, a great priest who used to work in the DC area, Father Ron Gillis, passed away a number of years ago, and he was a cheerful guy and hardworking, and he could try to sneak up on you and trick you to dive into a greater spiritual life. And he had this great line, don't be afraid to be miserable. A lot of times in life we tend to think that, you know, whether it's Lent or making a change in our spiritual life, that, oh my gosh, I gotta climb that mountain, it's gonna be so hard. And the reality is whether it's our pain over our past sins or fear somehow of God in a way we don't understand, we're afraid to take that step back, to move in the direction of healing, to move in the direction of grace. And so to begin the struggle is really the most important thing, because as long as we are struggling against ourselves and against our passions, our weaknesses, we're winning. Because in the long run, this is where freedom comes from. God wants us to have the freedom of being sons and daughters of God, to know that we're baptized, to know that God is with us. And so a lot of times people can be afraid to think, I've got to either take out some heroic sacrifice or some massive change that I'm not capable of doing. But that's not the point. The point is just to begin the struggle, to turn to God and say, I want to own my sin. I'm ready to come back to the sacrament of reconciliation. I'm ready to take that first step. And God, like the father and the prodigal son, rushes in and he puts a ring on our finger and he embraces us. And he says, let's celebrate the feast because my child is back. And so hope and joy do come along with the struggle, whether it's the physical therapist who's trying, as Amy brilliantly pointed out, trying to find out where the pain is so that we can begin working on relieving the pain and healing the wound and moving forward. There's a little bit of achiness, there's a little bit of struggle, but it's not the end of the world. And the devil just wants to keep us demonized and isolated, cut off from hope, cut off from God, cut off from our family, our friends, and our strength. Well, so that's the secret to Lent. That's the secret to joy.
Certainly there was misery on the cross for Jesus, but he did that for the joy set before him. So that's something, a good reminder for us. As we are in this second week of Lent, Thursday, the 1st of March, Congress has passed an anti-sex trafficking bill, at least on the House side. Dr. Gracie Christie, senior advisor with the Catholic Association, will join us to discuss that bill. And we have other news next as Morning Glory continues now at 28 after the hour on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
Our brief meditation for Thursday of the second week of Lent is one that's meant to be, I think, by our Lord, a bit of a kick in the pants, if I may put it that way. The little quotation that the church uses for today is from the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man died and went to hell in the parable. And he's having a very difficult time in hell. And he says to Abraham, remember this is a parable that our Lord taught. He says to Abraham, send it Lazarus to warn my brothers. We were all in business together. Tell Lazarus to go tell them not to be so worldly, not to be living high off the hog, not to be taking care of the poor. And Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. But the rich man said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And Abraham said back to him, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should come back from the dead. All these words tell us what we must do to enter eternal life? And do we believe them? Do we take them seriously? Do we take the words of Christ seriously, especially his parables, which tell us to pray incessantly, to pray fervently, to forgive, to love the poor, to be generous? Do we take them seriously? Because the one who said these words has risen from the dead.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
It's half past the hour on this Thursday morning, March the 1st in the second week of Lent. This is Morning Glory on EWTN Radio, and thank you for spending some time with us on your morning commute. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Our producer at Guadalupe Studios is Elisa Murphy. Our godly counsel joining us by phone today from Winchester, Virginia, Father Bjorn Lundberg, helps us begin the half hour with prayer.
As we return to St. Joseph and his month, we pray, O glorious St. Joseph, you have power to render possible things that are considered impossible. Come to our aid in our present trouble and distress. Take all our important affairs under your protection, that they may end happily through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And Gloria's going to talk about the first of the covet commandments.
Yeah, the ninth commandment, you shall not covet. The long one is your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, manservant, maidservant, ox, ass, or anything else that is your neighbor's. It takes care of everything.
It takes care of it all. Gloria will talk about that. And Father, on the power of taking baby steps, coming up in a few minutes, we'll also have Dr. Gracie Christie with the Catholic Association joining us in a moment. The Vatican plans a week-long conference next month to train more priests as exorcists to meet the rising demand for exorcisms. Thousands of exorcisms are being performed annually in Italy alone. Noted exorcist Franciscan Father Benigno Palila says the higher demand is due to increased interest in the occult, which he says opens the door to the devil and to possession. So many of the cases are not actually, though, related to demonic possession, but Father says they must still be investigated. Dick's Sporting Goods will no longer sell assault-style rifles. It's also halting the sale of all guns to anyone under 21. Parkland, Florida mass shooting suspect Nicholas Cruz bought a gun at Dick's Sporting Goods, not the AR-15, though, that he used in the massacre. Walmart is also restricting the sale of firearms in response to the school shooting. President Trump meeting Wednesday with members of Congress from both parties discussing school and community safety in response to that school shooting. He stresses warnings about disturbed individuals must be heeded seriously.
We have to ensure that when students, educators, family, neighbors, that when they warn authorities, that the authorities act quickly and decisively, unlike what took place in Florida, which was horrible.
And the president pays tribute to the Reverend Billy Graham. His body lies in honor this morning at the U.S. Capitol.
Everywhere he went, Reverend Graham delivered the same beautiful message. God loves you. That was his message. God loves you.
The funeral for Reverend Billy Graham is tomorrow in North Carolina. President Trump is expected to attend. The Catholic Association praises the House for passing a new anti-sex trafficking bill, making it easier for attorneys general and prosecutors to sue the websites that host advertisements for prostitution. Dr. Gracie Christie, a physician and the mother of five, a senior policy advisor to the Catholic Association, joining us by phone from Miami today. Dr. Gracie, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Outline this bill for us, what it would accomplish, and why the Catholic Association supports it.
So this is a bill that is closing, that wants to close a loophole that allows websites to not be legally liable or civilly liable when they know that sex trafficking is going on their pages. So this goes back to the fact that prostitution almost always involves some sort of sex trafficking and abuse, moved in the last few years from the back streets of our downtown and into the web pages of our internet. And so this is trying to close that loophole.
Is it possible to enforce this kind of legislation?
It is. People who are pushing back are saying that it will dampen the freedom of the internet. But the fact is that, a few years ago, they did a study and about 73% of cases of trafficked children and minors, boys and girls, was happening on one single website called Backpage.com, who knew very well that this was going on.
How can we be part of this idea of protecting children from this kind of sexual exploitation?
Well, of course, we have to be very aware that it's going on all around us. There's sort of an underworld in our culture that is present everywhere we go. It's a little scary when you stop and think about it. It's like we live in two separate universes. So there is an underworld where people, girls, boys, women, and men are being trafficked, abused, sold over and over online. We have to be cognizant of this and then keep our eyes open, see what we can, where we can spot the abuse going on. It might be going on next door or in the school where our children attend.
Dr. Gracie Christie, Policy Advisor to the Catholic Association. Gracie, are you confident that this bill will get through the Senate and be signed by the president?
I think some form of this will. The Department of Justice has weighed in against it. So they have a quibble with the wording of the law. They want to make sure that it's constitutional and that it can be applied properly. So I'm all for that, because in the end, we want laws that actually do attack the problem and don't just make people liable who shouldn't be liable.
And a quick reminder to our listeners of what the Catholic Association's mission is.
Oh, so we're an association. We're people that are hoping to inject ourselves in the media narrative anytime that where the church can be effective. So we hold the church's teachings, and especially in areas of religious liberty. And, of course, human trafficking is a concern to everybody, but especially, I think, to Catholics, to Christians who understand that it's a tremendous violation of human dignity.
Well, we appreciate the good work of the Catholic Association, and it's always fun to have you on the show, Gracie. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Wonderful to hear your voices. Thank you.
All right, 36 after the hour now, and a pair of shoplifting suspects running from Peoria, Illinois police scale a fence trying to get away only to land in the parking lot of the police station. Security video shows them trying to hide under a bench outside the police station. Of course, they are under arrest, charged with shoplifting, trespassing, and a critical public safety building, along with drug offenses. So apparently they were a little bit high to get into their adventure there.
Makes work a little easy, I guess.
Yeah, they come. The criminals come to you. Yes. In NHL action, just ahead of the forecast and Morning Glory musings on the Ninth Commandment. In final overtime, Buffalo beats Tampa Bay 2-1. Montreal over the New York Islanders 3-1. St. Louis winning over Detroit 2-1. Orlando 5, Calgary 2, and in overtime, the New York Rangers beat Vancouver 6-5. Quick look at top 20 college basketball scores. Number 3, Xavier, beats Providence 84-74. In overtime, Villanova over Seton Hall 69-68, and number 18, Clemson, beats Florida State 76-63. Coming up on 8 Minutes After and with your Thursday forecast, here's Elisa Murphy.
Morning Glory weather.
Chilly in the Midwest for your Thursday in Grand Rapids. A sunny day reaching a high of 42 for those tuning in on Holy Family Radio this morning. In Melbourne, Florida, a sunny day reaching a high of 82 for those joining us on Divine Mercy Radio. And in Houston, rain today, thunderstorms for those tuned to the Guadalupe Radio Network with a high of 76.
So the Ninth Commandment is really about carnal concupiscence. And if you're like, well, what is concupiscence? It's basically our inclination to sin, and we've got that because of original sin. Carnal concupiscence really is dealing with lust. And when I talk about lust of the heart, lust of the eyes, all those things, it's got our what should be beautiful, good, and holy sort of twisted up, you know, because we aren't looking at people as who they are. We're looking at them rather as how they can serve us in terms of giving us pleasure. Now, one of the things that we need to think about with this lust of the flesh is that, to me, it goes greatly against the sixth beatitude, which is says the blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So really, by breaking this commandment, we're consigning ourselves to never seeing God. Which is what? Heaven. That's the beatific vision. That's what we want. That's the goal of our life. And it's quite a serious sin, although people, I think, tend to play it down so much in our society. I remember way back in the day when I was in college, I had a roommate that loved the soap operas, right? And so I happened to walk into our living room because we were off campus in an apartment, and I was appalled by what was playing on the soap opera, how explicit the encounters were between men and women, the state of undress on daytime television. I mean, and I remember just getting all fired up and mad, and she was telling me I acted like an old lady. But I was like, you know, this is really normalizing what should be private behavior between a man and his wife. And she, you know, everybody was rolling their eyes at me. And I just was so fired up. And it made me think the more that we are unguarded and watching television, the more these kinds of things become normalized to us. And that's a shame. It's a shame that it becomes normal that we think that these things that are very private, we should have our eyes into it. So what does that do to us? I think it tends to mar us. I also tend to think it makes us, it arouses in us this carnal lust. And I've always wondered why in the movies as of late, instead of good storytelling, it's just a bunch of flesh. And I'm like, whenever I see movies like that, I'm like, this is trash, and this is a writer that cannot write. You should be able to tell a story without having to appeal to people's basest desires or to manipulate people's basest desires to sell tickets. But that's what we are. And that also is a violation of the Ninth Commandment, because what they're arousing in us, what they're hoping to sell tickets, is to arouse in us this carnal concupiscence, this lust. And we have to be worried. We have to be on guard. And I say, how much are we willing to say, you know what, as soon as that comes on the television, are we willing to just turn off the TV and walk away? I mean, as I'm trying to teach my daughter about things and teach her about the Ninth Commandment, we talk to her about if you hear or see something bad on TV, not that we let her watch TV, but, you know, we got grandparents. not trying to blame them. But we say, say a prayer and run. And, you know, I'm like, you know, and that's good advice for all of us. When you see something that you know is a challenge to you, or you know is the beginning of leading you into the pit, say a prayer and run. Why would we stay around and say, oh, maybe this will get better? You're allowing it into your eyes. You're allowing it into your heart. And from the heart that is corrupted comes these sinful thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, all these things. So we need to be guarding our eyes and our senses. And those of us, y'all know I always preach on modesty. We need to also dress modestly so we don't cause our brother or sister to fall into this sin of lust, which is forbidden by the Ninth Commandment. So as I wrap, what I'm going to say is, we, by the Ninth Commandment, are invited to see the human person as a person and to have right relationships with them and to not use them and see them as just a means to my pleasure. And so if we could today think about that and maybe pray about that and maybe even seek some assistance from a priest in trying to purify our hearts, I think that'll take us a long way.
If we're worrying about how to deal with this problem, the Ninth Commandment, and our culture takes us steps into scandal and to poor entertainment, how can we take steps to victory? How can we overcome this power of the lust of the flesh? And it's tiny steps to see the victory of God. If we can't even run, can we take a baby step? In the movie, What About Bob, Richard Dreyfuss plays the successful but very arrogant psychotherapist who is tortured on vacation when his obsessive compulsive patient, Bill Murray, who's completely neurotic, comes and follows him around and ruins his time off. It's a very funny movie, but the mantra that Dreyfuss has from his work is baby steps, baby steps. It's brilliant advice, but he's too arrogant to really live it. So if we want to have confidence in God and we really want to trust him to make a change to overcome this lust of the flesh and these bad patterns, how does confidence lead us to what we hear is the narrow gate, the little way? Well, the narrow gate, Jesus says, leads to life, and it's for those who become like children. When his disciples asked him, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he takes a child and says, unless you become like this child, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. So we want to humble ourselves. We want to admit that we have this weakness, this lust of the flesh, this struggle, but we need to love our weakness. It sounds strange to say that we're little, we're needy, and we're dependent. Our culture says, hey, I can do whatever I want. I'm all powerful. But when we can recognize that we're little, that we're small, God loves us then the way we are. He will transform us, because our humility is like a magnet for God. It draws down pouring floods of grace from God. So baby steps in humility can lead us to confession, can lead us to acknowledge our weakness, so we can gently see that face of God who wants to lead us into the light, lead us into victory.
You should have seen the grin on Gloria's face when you mentioned one of her favorite movies.
Yes. What about Bob? Oh, I was like, why, Father?
Richard Dreyfuss's performance in that was really good, Father. And that whole thing about baby steps and your point that that was his whole thing. Take baby steps. But he was too arrogant to do it himself.
He wouldn't do it. And that neighbor lady, you know, this evil man, he stole our house from us.
Yeah, it was a ridiculous story. But
oh, my gosh, that movie.
Favorite.
Well, a good point. So,
but I like when you talk about baby steps, because it's true. We can feel so defeated that we're not already there. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time when I was really, really getting deeper into the spiritual life, to realize it is your life's work to pursue holiness. It is not going to be, I got it, and I never got to worry about this again. I was like, oh, my Lord. You know, do I have the strength to persevere in this? And we have to remember, with God's grace, yes, you do. Yes, you can. So we're going to be talking with our great, great friend, Therese Burnpohl, also from the Respect Life office in the Arlington Diocese. There's a new Project Rachel video that they have out, and it is magnificent. I can't wait to talk with her about it next. So stay tuned here on Morning Glory to hear about Project Rachel.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
A Lenten Reflection with Father Dominic Legge.
In this season of Lent, we look to Christ on the cross to be our Savior. And being conformed to Christ on the cross is one of the most important things we can do this Lent. If you want an example of the virtues of the Christian life, you'll find them most perfectly in Jesus on the cross. An example of charity, because greater love than this no one has, to lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for us. An example of patience. Christ, who was perfectly innocent, but who took up the suffering of the cross for our sake. Humility, the one who is all-powerful, who humbled himself and became obedient even unto death. And, of course, obedience to the Father's will. How about contempt for earthly pleasures? Jesus left behind all the good things of this life because he knew of the power of eternal life that he obtained for us on the cross. Let us be conformed to Christ this Lent.
Stay up to date on the latest EWTN TV and radio shows, books, art, CDs, and DVDs from Religious Catalog when you sign up for Wings, our weekly e-newsletter. Get Wings today at EWTN.com.
This is Anna Mitchell from the Sunrise Morning Show, praying you have a blessed and holy Lenten season.
Aloha, this is Bear Wozniak. Have a blessed Lent from all of us at EWTN Radio.
We value your opinion. Email morningglory@ewtn.com.
And it's 15 minutes to the top of the hour. You're listening to Morning Glory Live. We're coming at you from the Guadalupe Studios in Washington, D.C. on this Thursday, March 1st, 2018, in the second week of Lent. I'm Gloria Purvis. My co-host is Brian Patrick. Our producer is Elisa Murphy. And our godly counsel is Father Bjorn Lundberg, pastor of Sacred Heart Church in Winchester, Virginia. And we're joined in studio by Therese Burnpohl. She's the executive director of the Office of Marriage and Family Life and Respect Life for the Diocese of Arlington. Good morning, Therese.
Good morning, Gloria. Good morning, Brian. Elisa.
So I have to tell you, I watched y'all's new Project Rachel video, and I was really touched for a number of reasons. Number one, how authentic it is. And I know the people in the video, many of the people in the video. So these testimonies are just so powerful, not only because I know these women, but they're authentic testimonies. How did that come about?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I was thinking as you all were talking, because one of the most devastating consequences of our promiscuous culture is abortion. Mm. And Project Rachel is a part of the Family, Marriage, and Respect Life office, and that is the outreach to those who are suffering after abortion. Mm. And so we're always looking for new ways to tell the women who have had abortions that you are loved, mm-hmm. forgiveness is possible. God's mercy is bigger than any sin. And we thought, what better way to do that than, you know, YouTube? I mean, mm-hmm. just kind of create a video. And we invited these three courageous women in to give their stories. And, you know, it's funny because it's not just that they've had, some of them had one abortion, mm-hmm. but some of them had had many abortions.
Yeah.
And that's a common thing that you will see. When mm-hmm. someone has one abortion, they often have two and three. And then so then what happens is, okay, God can never forgive me for one abortion, mm-hmm. but certainly never two. And then multiple, there's no way. I have no chance at redemption, because mm-hmm. not only will God never forgive me, I will never forgive myself.
You know what? When I was watching the video, I wanted to tag it with that shout your abortion tag, because this, the other side has tried to paint abortion as this liberating thing that, you know, it makes you feel better, women, that you'll be free of this. And what really touched me is the one part of the video, the woman that had an abortion such a long time ago, but she still wanted her face covered in. Mm-hmm. She was still, you could tell, working through the shame of it. And that's what really touched me. I was like, we don't, for a lot of people, you know, we may know, yeah, abortion is wrong, but I don't think people really get how damaging it can be for some women. And in particular, that woman who, while talking about her healing, was still, you know, wanted her face covered in darkness. She didn't want to necessarily be seen. How did you get her to be willing to go on video and have her voice heard?
You know, that's a really good question. And she had to pray about it. She had to think about it, because you are putting yourself out there. You're putting your pain out there. Mm-hmm. And yes, and you feel shame. We look at her and go, oh, courage, you're a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to do, as John Paul II said, and you're going to use this sin, and you're going to help other women to come to healing. You know, I should add that that's not always possible for women. So I'm not saying, not every woman is capable of telling her story publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that we need to know. But when you can tell your story, and you can bring other women, you know, to be able to come to light. And I say, you know, darkness into light. I was once on retreat, and I remember this woman coming in, and on Friday night, her face is, her hair is in her face. Mm-hmm. You can't even, you know, there's such pain there. And on Sunday after the weekend retreat, after she's had a chance to talk to the priest, she's like a different person. You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that whole idea that the one woman, Andy, in the video has said, it's from darkness into light. And you said it before, Gloria, naming your sin brings freedom. That is the freedom. And then you bring it to the priest, and he gives you the absolution through the, you know, his voice. You hear the Lord. You are free. Go in peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And Father Lundberg, I think, has a question for you.
Yeah, Therese, of course, I always love your work, and the Project Rachel ministry is so important. And a lot of times when in pastoral work, you're telling people about this as an option, I always will tell people if they've been affected by this choice, you know, you don't have to do this, there's no obligation. But I'm telling them this concept about Project Rachel and what it does. Well, now I stumbled into this video. I just pulled it up on my computer, and I was talking to somebody, and this video came up, and I started to play it. And instantly, this person was kind of transfixed, because they're watching this. And as the women were speaking, you know, she was just, you know, look, the person's watching this, just nodding, saying yes, yes.
Wow.
So it's one thing to talk about the concept, but to see somebody, to put a face on it and hear someone, it's like even better. Because now, instead of saying, call this number or email this or check the website, which is a great resource, but to be able to instantly show somebody a video and they see the witness of mercy, they see the witness of people set free, it's amazing.
Oh, thank you, Father. Yeah, you're so right. You're so right.
Well, do you all have any special events or any opportunities during this Lenten season?
We do. We have a retreat coming up on March 24th, and you can call us at our Project Rachel office at 888-456-HOPE. It's 888-456-HOPE, and you can also check us out on helpafterabortion.org, helpafterabortion.org. And then if for national line, there's hopeafterabortion.org. That's the USCCB's website, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops website. So we're just hoping, we've been praying for all our listeners and just hoping that you take the next steps, because God loves you and there is no sin that he cannot forgive you for.
Therese, this has hit so many families, not just the women directly involved, but their loved ones. And I wonder how those of us who have had this in our families can help with Project Rachel, with what Project Rachel does in this healing process for those who are right in the middle of it.
Well, certainly just by knowing that Project Rachel exists, so it's trained professionals who can listen to you, counselors, priests, retreats. So just keeping that literature handy, and praying for the right the moment, because not everybody's always ready, but just dropping the seeds and just saying, you know, we're out there, we can help. And I just also want to say, we can also help men. It's called Project Rachel, but it certainly is. Men have so many versions on the theme, because maybe you didn't even want the abortion, but one common thing that men often say to women is, it's up to you. It's up to you. And so what do you think the woman hears when the man says, it's up to you?
I won't help you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm out of this.
I'm out of it.
Yeah.
All
well,
you.
Let me just,
wrong.
For those who are listening, and we're going to have to wrap on this, can you stress that this is confidential? Like, they aren't going to come in there and there aren't going to be cameras and spotlights and a whole bunch of people saying, oh, tell that it is a confidential to go to Project Rachel.
Gloria, thanks so much for bringing that up. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Everything is confidential. There's no, whoever you speak with, from the moment you call, we're just there to listen, sympathetic ear. And yes, so thank you for that.
Thank you so much, Therese Bernpohl, Executive Director of the Office of Marriage and Family Life and Respect Life for the Diocese of Arlington. For those who are interested, you can visit helpafterabortion.com or hopeafterabortion.com. Thank you so much for joining Morning Glory.
Thank you.
Great to see you, Therese. It's 5 till now. Many of you going to Mass for Lent, making the daily Mass part of your Lenten routine. Father helps us through today's gospel from Luke 16 after we take a look at Catholic Chatter. Here's Elisa.
We've heard from one of those brave women this morning, Tracy writing in saying she is suffering from an abortion she had just a couple years ago. And she was very moved, Therese, by what you were saying, from darkness to light. And she's still working through that grieving process. And we did also hear from Susan, who's won the debate this morning, who says, what about Bob? It is the funniest movie ever.
No.
So the debate continues.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Nothing funny about today's gospel, Father.
Now, in Luke 16, we hear about this great chasm between those on the side of heaven and those who are in torment in hell. And the poor soul suffering says, send one into my five brothers so they can avoid hell. But Abraham replies, they have Moses and prophets that listen to them. And you hear this final warning, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. Let's not hear this as a warning to someone else. Let's hear it as a warning to us. Are we hearing the gentle voice of our good shepherd who's calling us to repent, to hear the good news now and not to wait to another day?
Well, it's great to hear the good news from your voice, Father. We appreciate Father Bjorn Lundberg, our godly counsel. Would you remember us as you celebrate Mass this morning, Father?
I'll be praying for everybody next at morning Mass.
Thank
you. All right. And Gloria, we'll see you in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll see me in the morning. And it's Friday, y'all. We're almost there. Almost the weekend.
Father Jordan Schmidt will be our godly counsel. Elisa, let us know about our guests.
Yes. We're going to continue our conversation on human trafficking with Dr. Sandra Morgan tomorrow.
Join us then and join us now as we pray together. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen.
Great to have you with us this morning. We look forward to the time we spend tomorrow. In the meantime, have a blessed Thursday and stay with EWTN Radio.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.